All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to go to really almost the end of the chapter, verse number 24, and I'm going to read just three verses here. Just remain seated. And it says in verse number 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and if they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We can enter into this house together. We pray you might bless and work in our hearts. Lord, give us something here tonight that be of help, be of encouragement. Lord, that we might be used of you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you're saved tonight, I believe something. If you're saved, I believe you want to serve God. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things we find have become new. And one of those new things is a desire to serve the Lord. Now, that desire for different people is at different levels, I suppose we could say, or you know, the volume's turned up for some a little more than others. And we find ourselves throughout life going up and down in that particular area, generally related to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The closer we walk with Him, the more we have a desire to serve Him and to see His work enhanced and the Word of God to go forth. We find that the purpose of the Word of God, as we give it to people, is to bring men and women into fellowship with God. That's its purpose. God wants you and I to have a fellowship with Him. We find that His law teaches us that He is holy. The law of God teaches us that we are unholy. And we find that from that there is a separation between God and man. But we find that the Bible doesn't stop with just the law that teaches us of His holiness and our unholiness, but we find the grace of God tells us about how He has torn that middle wall of separation down between us. And you and I, of course, through the Lord Jesus, His coming to this earth, have the privilege to accept what He did upon the cross of Calvary and be saved. So as we come to the Word of God, we find that it's basically speaking to two kinds of people. Is speaking to those who have accepted the grace of God and are in the process of allowing their relationship with God to grow. And again, it might grow, it may wane, and then it may grow some more. But it ought to be growing. But we also find that the Word of God is also given for another group of people and those who have not yet accepted His grace. How are they going to accept it if they don't know about it? How are they going to know about it if they don't hear the Word of God spoken to them? And that's, of course, the emphasis in Romans chapter number 10. In our text, I believe that there's a message for both the saint and the sinner. The saint is simply a sinner who's been saved by the grace of God. It's not somebody that's been canonized by the church. I thought for a long time to be canonized meant that you had to crawl inside this huge gun and they light a wick and boom, you were shot out of that thing. But that's not what they mean. And you and I, we don't have to have a death come and then some people look back and say, boy, wasn't he a great guy? And they then call him a saint. But when you're saved, you have been brought into sainthood. And so I want us to look here tonight at basically two things. First of all, I want us to stop and think about, with the saints, the patience that you and I ought to have. There's instruction given to us here. Notice what it says in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord." And the servant of the Lord. Now, He's going to give us some instructions as we are serving Him how we're to do it. So here's some very interesting things now that God is going to share with us how we are to do it as He instructs us. Notice there, first of all, He says, "And the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive." So it's not God's will for you and I to be in strife with the sinner. Okay? We are told that we ought to seek to compel them, if I read Luke chapter 14 properly, but we're not to stand around and argue with them. Now we can reason because God tells us to reason. But we ought not to do it in an objectionable manner where we're yelling at each other and so forth. I remember, to my shame, years ago, and it was my own brother, as he was kind of, and I couldn't understand kidding back in those days. I do a lot of it myself now, but he was really teasing with me, and I didn't understand it. And I'd been saved not too long. I'd gone to Bible school. We was back for our first time home at Christmas time. And he was talking about going to Mass. And I said, "You want to go with me?" And I said, "No, I don't want to go with you." And he started taunting me a little bit. And finally, I blew my stack. I got mad. That's not what God wants us to do. Remarkably, when we moved back here about 6 years later, the first person that came to visit us was my brother. Remarkably. A year ago, so I sat down and wrote him a letter. I've talked to him different times. I'd sit down and wrote him a letter and once again asked him to forgive me of that. Tried to tell him what had happened in my life and just once again give him the Word of God. And how we can't strive with people. It's not going to be of any benefit. Now, there's a time to stand for things, but not a time to be in a yelling match with folks. I think we understand the difference, don't we? I mean, we've got to stand true to our convictions, but we don't need to do it in an angry way. We don't need to do it in a mad way. We can do it with a proper kind of attitude behind it. Okay, so must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Now, that's interesting. Be gentle. I would kind of put it like this. We ought to have, in our approach to people, a very respectful manner. Being gentle with them. Not to show disrespect to that individual whereby they're going to turn us off. Every person is unique. Every person is worth something to God. The least valuable person is worth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty good, amen? And so, if that's what we are worth, and that's what every individual is worth, then we ought to approach them with that kind of gentleness, that kind of respect. I remember one time I went to the Detroit Mission, and boy, what an experience that was. That was in such a horrible portion of Detroit that if you went there to minister, they brought you inside of a gate that had barbed wire on the top, and a guard who stood guard outside while we were having service. We were told, do not park your car on the street because when you leave, if it is there, you probably won't have any tires. Or maybe a few other things detached from your vehicle while you are in there. And so we went in, and here's all these men that come in. And I remember distinctly sitting down by a guy that was almost my same height. And here was this guy. He was black, had nothing to do with it, but he was black, and he didn't smell very good. I don't think he'd had a shower probably in several days. His clothes hadn't been washed, and so here I find myself next to him, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. There were several of us that night. I wasn't preaching. Somebody was up there preaching, and my job that night was simply to be ready to help any man at the altar, if they came to the altar. I remember distinctly that night as I was sitting there listening to preaching, God began to work in my heart because I was feeling superior to this guy. I was feeling like, yeah, this guy, this lowlife, you know. And God began to smite my heart and help me to understand something that night that, hey, but by the grace of God, there be I. And it put a different light to me and a different compassion. And it was something different. And when the service was over and he didn't respond, I began to talk to him. Talk to him about the Lord a little bit. I can't say he got saved that night. I don't remember. But it did something to me that night. I just remember because so often we have this kind of attitude that is not real respectful to people. Because we sometimes, as Christians, even look down at folks. We ought never, ever to do that. Matter of fact, we'll look at that again as we look at the word meek. But notice there, he says, apt to teach. Okay? Being ready to give them the blessed gospel. Listen, God's people ought to understand the gospel well enough to tell somebody else how they can get saved. We ought to be able to do that. And then notice what he says there. Patient. Patient. Boy, this is instruction that God gives to preachers especially, as he tells us to preach with long suffering. And that's a word that sometimes we will use the synonym of patient. Because as we give the Word of God, we've got to let God do the work. Allowing Him to speak to the heart. And sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we try to hurry the process along. And sometimes because we want somebody to be saved so much that we almost do the praying for them. I remember so well, what's it been, 2, maybe 3 years ago when Dina, after all these years in church, finally made it right with God. She told me, she said that when she came, that the individual dealt with her, and I know who it was, and they were trying their best, and they didn't mean any harm by it, but in their exuberance, they basically prayed for her. And she never even asked the Lord to forgive her of her sin. And when she got up from, was told that she was saved. And she'd come to the spot where for 3 or 4 years she was just embarrassed and so ashamed. And finally at camp she broke and she got wonderfully saved. But sometimes we get so exuberant. We've got to be patient, letting God do the work. Letting Him bring the conviction. Boy, sometimes I preach and I say, what is wrong with these people? And then sometimes you preach and you wonder, why are they coming? You know, but we need to be patient. You who work with children, be patient. Be patient. Keep on giving the Word. Keep on teaching them. Keep on allowing those things to enter their hearts and their minds. You who work with adults, it's the same thing. The principle is the same. And just keep on doing it. Be patient. Allow God to do His work. Our job is to give the Word of God. It's His job to convert the soul. It's His job to bring conviction. It's not ours to do that. So ours is to labor in the Word, give it to people, and allow God to do the work in their lives. Frustration will come when you try to do it yourself or when you expect results yourself because of what you did. Believe me, I understand that one very well. Be patient, allowing God to do that work. And then notice there's another word there. We used it just a little bit. In meekness instructing, with that right kind of a spirit. We ought not to ever give the impression that we are better than somebody else. But we are on the same, we're on the same page. We're better off if we know where we're going. Amen. And we can be thankful for that. We can stand assured in that. We can let them know, I have that assurance. But by the same token, they need to know we have that assurance, not because we're great, but because God is great. Because of what He did in our lives. So in meekness, never forget that and be very careful in that area. But notice something else. There's the patience of the saints, but the predicament of the sinner. Notice, if you notice there in verse number 26, it says, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken, what? Captive by him at his will. You know tonight the devil controls this world. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a tremendous enemy tonight. He is stronger than any of us. He has ability that none of us have the ability to loose except in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, in Him you can defeat the devil. But the sinner cannot. He is held by his reign. He is blinded by his hand. And if those things are not loose from that individual, they will spend eternity with them. And so it's your and my job to give them the truth of the Word of God, allowing God to do the work in their lives. Notice the kind of people we're dealing with. And this may help you a little bit as you're going with and talking to people. In meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. Oppose themselves. Do you know that most of what we do are self-destructive? How many here like to eat? We must eat to survive. But most of us don't eat properly. We don't eat the right quantities or the right qualities. How many like to sleep? Some people get too much, but by and large, most people get too little. And we're self-destructive with it. The invention of the light bulb and the television, we stay up a lot later. And we don't always get up later. And what do we find? We find ourselves going with those things. We're self-destructive in so many things that we do. I mean, we can just go through a whole panorama of things that we do in life. But let's stop and think about it. Sin in itself, which we are sinners, it has its payday, doesn't it? It is self-destructive. And so we're dealing with people who oppose themselves, not just in those areas we talked about, but who oppose themselves in the things of God. The excuses that you come up against. The things that people are going to try to tell you to not listen to what you have to say. And so it's good for us to learn what those are and learn how to combat those things. And being able to try to bring back to them, and I'm going to use the word argument, but I don't want to use it in the wrong sense here from what we said a while ago, but proper arguments to their particular kinds of things. There is no way in this world that the plight of mankind is going to be stopped. Let's consider tonight. Doctors try to ward off death. But really, realistically, when it all comes down to it, all they can do is provide us a few more hours or maybe a few more days. Realistically, you know. And what happens ultimately in the end? We die. There's just no way to stop it. Politicians try to make life a little better. Anyway, they tell us that. But in actuality, they end up making it worse. Every time a politician says, I'm going to do this for you, guess what he is also doing for you? He is siphoning from your purse and from your hip pocket. It's just the way it works. And when he siphons it, it always seems to not go as far as if you did it yourself. They don't have the answer. Educators, they try to help us to learn about life. And yet, for the most part, they ignore the very source of life. And end up only educating people in sinful practices. And sadly to say, at earlier and earlier ages. Only God can change our plight. How's it going to happen? If you and I are patient with individuals, we keep giving them the Word of God, because they're going to oppose themselves. The devil's got his clutches around them. They're their own worst enemy. But you and I, we have a weapon that works. It's called the truth. It's called the Word of God. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you and I are willing to take that, study its pages, understand what it says, and use that, it has an ability to cut through to the hearts of individuals. We'll never know its great power until we start using it. And what it does in lives. Just simply open it up, study it, hold of it more and more day after day, that you might, what? Use it in the battlefield of this world. Sit down with fellow Christians. Talk about the Word of God. Hone each other a little bit. Ask questions. Maybe wrangle about it just a little bit so you can hone each other up on some things. Use the excuses and find the things that are going to take away those excuses. That we might be better servants of His. By the way, our fellowship oftentimes could be a lot improved if we talked about those kinds of things more and allow ourselves to be honed up in those areas. Alrighty? We find the world's opposing themselves. We find the devil has a stranglehold upon them and has them captive. But you and I have the sword of the Word of God that we can what? Go against him and his tactics and become successful against a lost and a dying world. We live in a great season in December, and many of you have family members that are lost, and you have some opportunities with them. And I hope that you not only get those opportunities, but you take those opportunities and, boy, I'll tell you what, pray, ask God to lead you in your words, opening discussions. It's amazing what he opens up. I love a thought that we got in the Menominee Falls. I'd never heard the term before, divine appointments. It's amazing the people God just kind of puts in our way. That if we're open to it, obedient to it, we have a privilege to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we just need to open the door ourselves. By the way, if God is speaking to your heart, somebody is, you know, near you, and you just, you know, don't be afraid to say to them, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Don't be afraid to ask them, are you saved? You know, whatever it might be, whatever God lays in your heart. I don't like to give instructions, you do it this way or that way. You know, have you ever looked at John 3:16? What do you think of that? For God so loved the world. And allow God to use you. Because there's folks out there that will hear. And I found this to be true. Most people that we're afraid of, afraid of what they'll think of us, think more highly of us when they know that we stand for something and are willing to say something. But we get scared. But if we will keep that one in mind, oh, there's a few folks, they're going to, especially if there's a two or three around that might try to make fun of you or something. Normally, by the way, listen to this. Normally, those are the kind that's touching their heart, and the only way they know how to get out of the situation is to try to ridicule you. A lot of times, they're the ones you ought to ask God, give me a chance alone with them. I had a fellow that I worked with when I started the church. I worked for truck lines, and they all knew I was a preacher, and they knew what I was doing. He'd try to ridicule me. He'd always do it out loud, real loud, and out on the dock where all the men were at, trying to make himself look good. And he'd say different things. I remember one night he was taunting me, "Hey, preacher, I'm going to go out and get drunk tonight after work. What do you think of that?" And I don't know what I said to him, but sometimes I ignore him, and sometimes, you know, I'd say something. But just never allowed him to rile me up. And it was interesting one night, after several attempts to rile me and to get me to who knows what, I was in my trailer. He came walking in my trailer. And I was unloading a truck, and he came in. And he began to ask me some very serious questions, one-on-one. It wasn't but a few moments later, after we talked a little bit, we're out there, and he's got to put up his big front again. But I knew what his heart was like. That was just a big show in front of the other men, trying to show how tough he was. You men have been around a while. You know that kind of stuff. Don't let him intimidate you. Stand for something. Give him the word. And it's interesting what God may give you. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have a Savior. We thank you that He came. We thank you we can celebrate it. Lord, we're thankful that we can be able to tell others about it. Lord, at this season of the year when so many are afraid to talk about Christmas and use the word Christ and how we can do so, Lord, just give us boldness. Help us to stand true. Help us to have the right kind of attitude as we deal with family and friends. Lord, let us not lessen our resolve because of fear. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.